at 8:06 a.m. This is a meeting of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee. It is Tuesday, April 4th. We are in State Capitol Room 124. And right now, my members present are Representative Tallarico, Representative Sadler, Representative Westlake, and Representative Drummond. Co-Chair Parrish has an excused absence for another duty this morning. We have a quorum to conduct business. Let's just take the time to make sure that we have our cell phones silenced for the duration of the meeting. Thank you, everyone, for that. Appreciate it. Before we begin, I would once again like to thank Lori Rowland, as always. Thank you, Lori. She's the House Community and Regional Affairs Secretary, and Matt Kern from the Juno LIO for being here today to provide us with a transcript and recording of our meeting. My committee aide, Joe Yorty, is here to help with any member needs for this committee meeting, so if you need anything, please let her know. Today we have one order of business. It is the first hearing of HB 138, which recognizes March as Sobriety Awareness Month. The committee has before it House Bill 138, version 30-LS0488/D. So that's the one we're going to be referring to today. We have the bill's sponsor, Rep. Westlake, and his staff, Mr. Forrest Wolf, here in the room to present the bill and answer any committee questions. And if you both want to just come forward, put yourselves on the record, and you can begin your presentation whenever.
I'm Dean Westlake, Representative, House District 40.
to the chairmen of the committee, this is Forrest Wolf, Senior Policy Advisor for Representative Westlake.
And I'd like to introduce my bill to you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. House Bill 138 designates the month of March each year as Sobriety Awareness Month. It seemed an opportune time to be doing this with the declaration of disaster for opioids, abuse, and the alcohol problems that seem endemic out here. And it provides an opportunity for schools, communities, church groups, and other entities to recognize, appreciate, and celebrate those Alaskans that choose to live a life of sobriety. Individuals that lead a sober life are an asset to Alaska, and they can help reduce the incidence of alcohol and drug-related social issues as they can be sponsors or else role models as well. Please support me in joining this legislation to designate March each year as Sobriety Awareness Month. So that's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, once again, this is Forrest Wolf, Senior Policy Advisor to Representative Westlake. I don't really have too much to add. I'll just kind of point out that under your bill packets, you do have a copy of some language from AS 4737010, also known as the Uniform Alcoholism and Intoxication Act. And under the Declaration of Policy, the first sentence reads, "It is the policy of the state to recognize, appreciate, and reinforce the example set by its citizens who lead, believe in, and support a life of sobriety." And we feel that permanently designated March as Sobriety Awareness Month, HB 138 will help the state of Alaska meet this declaration of policy. I do have one person on available to testify today. His name is Gregory Nostein, and he's an individual who brought this idea to our attention first, so I'd like to give him some recognition. So with that, I'm available for any questions. I believe we have someone from the Department of Health and Social Services online as well.
Well, we do have Gregory Nostein is on the line, and Susie Schutz from Legal Services, and we'll get to them in just a minute for invited and then public testimony. But I do not see anyone from Department of Health. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. They're in the room. Okay, even better. Okay, perfect. So what we'll do first is if we have any questions from our committee for the bill sponsors, and then if not, we'll move into invited testimony from there. So, any questions or comments? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the bill sponsor through the chair, can you define sobriety for me? I noticed that there's talk about drug and alcohol, so I just want to make sure and get a definition of what it is we hope to be aware of.
Yes, well, what it is and through the chair, I do apologize. What it is a life of sobriety free of any substances out there. I had the opportunity to be down there to the native village of Eoc in Cordova, and in November they had a wonderful celebration. And what really touched me is there was a young man in there sitting there. It's a whole community event, and they talk about sobriety, where they've been, how they've built themselves up. And one of these young fellows said, I'd been sitting up there as a high school student 2 years ago. Never thought I'd be down here talking about this stuff. And here he is, just bearing his soul. It ends with, you know, who's been sober 50 years? Who's been sober 49 years? And it goes down and it recognizes their accomplishments in leading this life of sobriety and being role models, knowing that you can pick yourself up. And it was a wonderful thing to see. So with that, it can be alcohol, it can be drugs. It's just getting back integrated without being dependent on anything else other than yourself.
Okay. And I'd follow up, and this is a kind of an existential question. What is the effect of the state creating a Sobriety Awareness Month? What does that actually do?
It promotes, I think, I want to see EOCs. I want to see Cordovas all over Alaska where you can celebrate. You've got a reason. They said, okay, it's sober. It's Sobriety Awareness Month. Let's do something for it. Right now, you don't. It's a patchwork of people doing this, whether it's in Kotzebue or Galena or anywhere else. Just getting this down to a month where people can start to do this, it's on their mind. And it's more than a feel-good bill. What it is do-good bill. It is giving people a conduit to get out there and have a reason to celebrate, that the state recognizes the contributions you make even after you do fall, providing you pick yourself up.
So I'll follow up. That should make that point that quick. So what will be different in 2017 or 18 than different in 2014 or 15 with the presence of March being Sobriety Awareness Month?
Goodness, I've got no idea. It's up to the people on how they make that difference, and I'm hoping it's something I never even dreamed about.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any further questions or comments from the committee? Okay. It doesn't look like we have any more comments for the bill sponsors. What I'm going to do now is open invited and public testimony. So we've got invited and public testimony is now open. And first, it looks like we have Gregory Nothstein, the president of Sober Miute, reviving our spirit. Mr. Nothstein, if you could put yourself on the record and state your affiliation, and then you can begin your testimony, and we'll give you 3 minutes.
Thank you. Gregory Nothstein, president of Sober Miute Reviving Our Spirit. I've had some brief history with this sobriety awareness back in 1995 when it was first introduced by Representative Irene. And let's see. At any rate, all I know is that there's an aggregate population of citizens living in our state that have never consumed any mood mind-altering beverages. For all of their lives, we've got a lot of children who haven't been affected by it yet, and they're all citizens of our state. We've got some young adolescents who don't drink, and who don't smoke, who don't abuse any mood mind altering substances, and we've redefined the problem each year. It's causing its devastating effects all over our communities, and we've been dealing with this since the People Apparel series and Anchorage Daily News have been putting that out. And AFN came out with its AFN Blue Ribbon Commission and then its AFN Sobriety Movement Council and asked the council itself, what are we going to do differently now that all these state and federally funded programs are focusing on the problem of alcohol and drug abuse and helping the general population understand the dangers of all of the devastating effects of abusing these substances? And the late General Schaefer said, well, what can we do differently? And we got everybody else educating the general public on the dangers of alcohol and drug abuse, but the problem's not going away. And so a couple of the other members of the council said, well, we can focus on all the people who don't participate in that problem and see what we can do to raise attention and awareness to their existence. And therein lies the whole idea behind finding out who these people are, where do they live, and why do they choose this particular way of life that improves the quality of life and health of individuals, families, and communities, and helps reduce the incidence of alcohol and drug-related crimes, and thereby reducing the devastating effect on governments and treasuries having to pay for the pervasive social ills that are feeding our jail cells and our social services. And, you know, this quiet aggregate population just continues to sit there and exist. And they're part of the solution that closes the loop on the postulate of if you identify the problem, you have half the answer. And if you focus on just the problem, what are we going to do with the solution of all these wonderful living examples of the truth that life can be lived and enjoyed without having to consume? These folks like myself and everybody else I know who have to hide in plain sight because we have such a seemingly a paradigm that keeps them from coming out and saying, hey, I live this way of life, and I think this particular bill is a paradigm shift in maintaining some focus on there's a way of life out there that everybody seems to be enjoying free of choice. Taking nothing away from all the responsible consumers who continue to be living examples in their own right, we have an aggregate population of folks who join recovery every year, and yet we don't have any quite social, social approval, social permission to come out and say, this is the way of life I choose to live, and we don't have a state with a policy that says we're going to recognize, reinforce, and appreciate the example of its citizens who lead a positive, healthy, productive way of life free from the devastating effects of alcohol and drugs. And it just seems like a win-win situation. Granted, we're going to continue to see a problem of the symptoms of abuse. We still need to find out what the merits are of leading this positive, healthy lifestyle, because we've got all the statistics on the problem, but we don't have any data or statistics on the positive merits of leading a healthy lifestyle.
Mr. Knopfstein, you're over 4 minutes.
3 minutes is up.
Perhaps you could give us a summation. That would be excellent. Thank you.
Well, I would applaud the legislature this year if it was to pass this legislation. It would be right in line with the territorial legislature passing the Civil Rights Act. I mean, you're leading. We're the only states that are doing this, and so you're breaking ground, just like the Iditarod Trail. And I think the last thing was when Mike Williams brought all those 10,000 signatures for sobriety that we collected back in '95. This is the serum of commitment necessary to help cure the devastating effects and honoring these wonderful citizens who are choosing this way of life. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you just want to hold on, it looks like we have some questions from the committee. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair to Mr. Knopfstein. Greg, you're part of an organization that promotes sobriety as a way of life. Tell me, if you can, specifically how this bill establishing March as Sobriety Awareness Month would complement or assist you in your efforts with your organization, and as specific as you can.
Well, I believe it would be an opportunity for any organization that promotes this positive, healthy way of life to help the state in achieving its declaration of policy. I mean, the state has a declaration of policy on the books, but how many of our nonprofit organizations are assisting it in meeting this policy? So we would be in a position to do that.
And a follow-up?
Follow-up, absolutely.
And this is a question I'll ask the sponsor as well, but through the chair. Any reason why March is an appropriate month to designate as Sobriety Awareness Month? To your knowledge? That's to you, Greg.
You asked me, or?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I think it was a follow-up to all of the 10 other resolutions that the legislature passed in the previous years from 96 to 2005 that we have a precedent of the legislature passing and recognizing Martha Sobriety Awareness Month on the premise that we have all of these dog mushers honoring the serum of commitment, if you will, honoring the serum run. And there was this sobriety pledge going on at a time that AFN, the Oscar Federation of the Natives, was sponsoring, and collecting those names and having an Iditarod musher carry them in his sled as a way to honor that. And so Sobriety Awareness Month became March. I mean, we had and the late General John Staver said, we already have an Alcohol Awareness Month, but we already know enough about alcohol. I mean, you'd turn on the TV and you can see the commercials. We don't need any more awareness on that. But we do need an awareness on the merits of living sober, and I don't think we have enough opportunity to do that. And having a person like Mike Williams or any other musher hearing these names of folks who have either died from the devastating effects or who are now living the lifestyle they want to, seem to be an appropriate time to utilize March as Sobriety Awareness Month. I mean, we needed parity. There's an Alcohol Awareness Month. Let's have a Sobriety Awareness Month.
Thank you.
Okay.
And March seemed to be it, through the chair.
And any further questions for Mr. Nothstein, as we still have him on? All right. Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. What we'll do is we'll redirect that same question, Representative Sadler, since I think you wanted that answered by the bill sponsor. If I can just have you speak to that very quickly, Representative Westlake.
Yes, and thank you, through the chair. It's I don't have the statistics to back me on this one, and there's a reason for this. If you look through the API, from January to April, they are absolutely booked. They turn people away. And maybe for us, I don't have the statistics in front of us, the suicide rates are terrible. This is a good time. Maybe it's a springtime weather. Maybe, you know, the changes. It's spring always signifies a new beginning, and this seemed like an appropriate time. So that's where we're going. So, thank you.
Thank you. All right, we're still in public testimony. I see that we have Ms. Stacy Tom from the Division of Behavioral Health. She's here in the room, but just for questions. So if anyone has any questions for Ms. Tom, we can bring her forward. But if there are no questions, okay, looks like we do have a question. Ms. Tom, if you could come forward, put yourself on the record, and then state your affiliation. And Representative Sadler, you may ask your question then.
Good morning. My name is Stacy Toner. I'm the Deputy Director for the Division of Behavioral Health at Health and Social Services.
My apologies, Ms.
Toner. No, it's my writing, so I apologize.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you. You're the chair, Ms. Toner. Thanks for coming. I figured you'd show up this morning. You might as well get time on the mic here. If you could, from DBH's perspective, how would the designation of March as Sobriety Awareness Month help you achieve your mission?
So through the chair, Representative Sadler, one of the things I could see us doing is formulating sobriety celebrations with our grantees and providers in the communities. We do this through Recovery Month in September, where we're helping to support community awareness campaigns and celebrations. So I think we would make it a focus of our grantees and our providers, both on the treatment side and with those communities that are doing prevention and community coalitions, so that we're supporting those individuals in the state who are living a life of sobriety and making it the goal for our young people.
Hello. Thank you. I'm asking questions I'm sure other members have, so I hope I'm not monopolizing the mic, but shame on me for not knowing that September is Recovery Month. But how will Sobriety Awareness Month complement or duplicate Recovery Month?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, Recovery Month is a federal initiative that doesn't – so recovery is that option that people choose when they've already had a drug or alcohol issue and they have worked to heal from that. I believe sobriety is a little different. It can be part of a life of recovery, but it is also the choice to not be to be drug-free and alcohol-free and substance-free. And it can be a choice before you have an issue. So they're a little different. I know it might be splitting hairs, but they're a little different.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other questions for Ms. Toner? Seeing none, I think we can. Is that a question there, Representative Tallarico? Oh, okay.
Thank you. Sorry. Exactly. My coffee's kicking in, so I guess. And I guess this might be good to get in the record, Ms. Toner. What percentage, or give me some estimation of how much of Division of Behavioral Health's work addresses those who do abuse alcohol or drugs? How much of your workload and mission is dedicated to that cause?
To alcohol and drugs? Oh, through the chair.
Or the impacts thereof.
I would say, this is off the top of my head, more than 65%. API is a very large portion of our work, and so are people with mental illness, young and old, adults and children. But I, and that might even be a low number, Representative Sadler, because I think we have so many people with co-occurring issues. But I would, that's the number I would choose. I can go back to the office and take a look at our numbers. If it would be helpful, we can get that to you.
Through the chair. No, that, just okay. Even a rough estimation is good. I just want to make the record that it is a problem.
Yeah.
I guess one more question. I'll follow up with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we often look for places where we can adjust the budget downward, and I just wonder if, I don't know if I could pick a random arbitrary, if half the people that have alcohol and drug problems in Alaska no longer did, what would that might mean to the state's budget? So I'm going to try some rough calculations. So if assuming, well, actually, I'll let you make the calculation. If, say, half the people in Alaska who are drug and alcoholics and drug addicts were no longer so, what would that mean to the state's budget? Really rough, rough and tumble guess.
We have a, through the chair, Representative Sadler, we have a very large amount of money going out of the Medicaid to treat people with substance abuse and mental health issues. If we were to have a completely sober population without these issues, that's millions. It's probably 80 to 100 million, I'm presuming. We're talking about grants where people wouldn't need treatment. This is really out there on the edge, so you've asked me something. I'm going to say 80 to 100 million.
Thank you very much.
You know, the issue, can I follow?
Mm-hmm.
So we also have the opioid epidemic, which is taking a lot of lives, and it's we haven't even begun to touch on how much impact that's having. But, thank you.
Thank you. Looks like no further questions from the committee, so I'll thank you for your testimony.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you for answering our questions that we had. We do have a Ms. Schutz unavailable on there. Ms. Schutz, if she's unavailable, she dropped totally? Okay, so she's not going to be testifying. It doesn't look like there's anybody else on the phone. Is there anyone else in the room that wishes to testify on the bill in front of us right now? House Bill 138. Okay, seeing no one, I am going to close public testimony at this time. Public testimony is closed. This bill has had two hearings in House Health and Social Services, so I'm going to continue our discussion and questions right now, but it is my intention, since it's had two questions there, if someone would entertain a motion that we would pass it today. But before that, any further testimony or discussion from our committee members or questions? Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Like I said, double dose of coffee this morning. Mr. Chairman, while I sometimes have a bit of a cynical perspective on whether what the government does can make a big difference in people's lives, I think the cost and damage to people's lives from drug and alcohol abuse is significant enough that it's worthwhile that the state can do everything it can to create the social encouragement of a sober lifestyle. Peer pressure, in a negative sense, is what leads a lot of people to take their first drink or first drug. And I think in our role as legislators, if we are able to help encourage and provide peer pressure to be straight and sober, that's a good thing for the state, and we should use everything in our power to achieve that beneficial and economically beneficial aim. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Sadler. Any other comment, discussions, questions from our committee? All right, I'll just take an indulgence. Oh, Representative Sadler.
I was ready to make a motion.
Oh, okay. Well, I will take an indulgence and just say that I, too, believe that this is something that's very worthwhile, and it is something that I think affects our state to the tunes of hundreds of millions of dollars, and anything that we can do to encourage folks to you know, to promote the sober lifestyle, to recognize the folks that are living a sober lifestyle, something that I think makes sense to me. So I appreciate our bill sponsor bringing this bill forward. Thank you. And now I think I would entertain a motion. I think Rep. Drummond might have it. Sorry, Representative Sadler. Representative Drummond.
Mr. Chair, I move to report House Bill 138, version 30-LS0488-D from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
And are there any objections to the motion? All right, hearing none, the motion to pass HB 138, version 30-LS0488-D from committee carries. And are there any other items for today for us?
Maybe they'll be
there. All right. Well, if we can have everybody stick around, we'll need to sign, obviously, our bill documents. I'll take a brief at ease to make sure we get that signed, and then we'll come back on the record and adjourn. So brief at ease. Back to order, and thank you. We have our bill packet correctly signed. I appreciate all the members sticking around for that. We will now adjourn this meeting of House Community and Regional Affairs, and we're going to adjourn it at 8:34 a.m. Thank you very much.